How are we all doing this morning? Good. Okay. Holding up. Some are tired. Thanks for the honesty. Appreciate it. So I'm trying to calm down today. I wasn't planning to speak this morning. I was getting it in the last minute. So I had been working on something, so I quickly finished it. So it could be rough around the edges, but maybe it would actually be better. Less of my own preparation. And I've been preaching through the book of Colossians, and we're getting to the end of it. And we're actually slowing down on some things that we're seeing there and spending a little time learning about some names and some people that appear in here. And last week, we went through the book of Philemon, which is close connection with Colossians. We went through that one entire book of the Bible in one day. Wasn't that good? Now, it's only one page long. It's the shortest book in the Bible, I believe so. But it was a great accomplishment to do that. And so today we're going to just be looking at a couple verses from Colossians, and we're going to look at some verses from Acts that give you some background on one of the people that are mentioned here. Let's go ahead and take a moment and just pray again. Lord, we invite you into this time. I pray that you would just have the power and freedom to work on hearts and change lives today, Lord, that you would speak through this sermon and this message, and that as we open up your word, that it's just obviously relevant and applicable to our lives today, Lord, that we would just see what you intend for us and that we would respond appropriately to you, Lord. So I know, Lord, that that involves removing distractions that we've brought in or bad attitudes or just even sin, Lord, that is just not pleasing to you and is really not good or helpful for us. I pray today that we would be able to move away from that, move towards you, and to just accept what you have to say, because it's so good for us, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a great privilege to go to England last year and have a couple days off while I was there. And so I got on the subway and I went into London. And when I was in London, I was trying to decide what to do, but I really like World War II history. So I went and I looked for some places I could learn some things about World War II. And so I went to some different museums, like they have an Imperial War Museum, which has a lot of stuff there. And there was another one, which was the Winston Churchill Museum. And I went in that, and it was fascinating to go in there. But for those of you who are younger, maybe haven't thought about this a lot, Winston Churchill was an amazing person. He almost carried his country through World War II when their neighbors, the Germans, every night were dropping bombs on them. I mean, you think you've had it bad. Try living through getting bombed like night after night after night and not, you know, your neighbors are dying, your house is blown up, and every night you have to go down in the shelter and just hear the bombs drop and hope everything's okay, and then not get discouraged and come back and do your job the next day and try to keep the country moving forward. And that was World War II in England. That's what they were living through on a daily basis. I mean, talk about maybe being discouraged. And Winston Churchill would give these speeches that would just rally people and would just move them towards fighting that war and keeping going and not being discouraged and never giving up. Have you heard some of his speeches? Have you ever heard? I mean, get on the internet and listen. He's got some speeches. You've got to know that you just need to know. You need to listen to those. But they talk about never giving up. We'll never surrender to the enemy, and just keeping the people moving forward in that difficult time. That was Churchill. But you may have known that about Churchill, but did you know that he was put out of politics several times and people did not want him as a leader there? He was a guy that had to keep coming back from political failures. Political failure after political failure. And several times it looked like he was completely out of politics. And he ended up getting back into it because he was taking this strong stance against Hitler and the Nazis. And he got back and ended up being this great leader that they needed, that if God hadn't put him in place, maybe their country couldn't have stood through it. So he is a picture of somebody who comes back from some failures. Now, I thought about some other people. You know, there's in sports, you've got like the player, comeback player of the year. You hear about that. Sometimes a guy will come back from like a devastating injury and he'll come back and he'll play really well. We had a guy in the Seahawks, Mike Williams, who was out of the league for a couple years, and he came back and now he's doing really well with the Seahawks. You had Michael Vick, who was in all the dog trouble, and now he's come back. And I'm not going to speak to where his heart is. He says that now he knows Jesus, and he very well may. The power of Christ could transform and change people. So you've got people in difficult situations that can quit and give up, but that come back. And today, the thing we're going to be talking about is getting past our own personal failures, and not even just our own, but the personal failures of the people around us. Let's look in Colossians here now. And again, this is a letter written from Paul. He's in prison. He's in a Roman prison. He's still thinking of the churches and how to build them up and how to help them to grow in him. And in verse 10 here, he's really starting the close to this letter. Or he actually did in verse 7. He's continuing in 10. Aristarchus. Now feel sorry for me because I really had to figure out how to say this. Okay, come on now. Let's make it real. It's difficult to get up here and pronounce some of these names that are different. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Just those two simple little verses we're looking at and we're thinking about today. But we're going to think a lot about one of these guys. But let's just look briefly at what he says. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. So this is somebody that they know that's from there. He's with them. He's a prisoner. He says he passes along his greeting. And he talks about this other guy, Mark, is the cousin of Barnabas. Barnabas is the man that Paul took the first missionary trip with and went and shared the gospel with the Gentiles. Barnabas was the one that went with him. And Barnabas is also called what? The son of encouragement. So he was known to be a very encouraging person that accepted people, built people up. And when Paul first became a Christian, and he went from persecuting the church, trying to stop it, trying to break it up, trying to stop this way, this Christian way, and do everything he can to stop it. He went from that to meeting Jesus and getting saved. Barnabas was the first one really that was there to welcome him in. Everybody else was afraid of him, but Barnabas was there, and that's what he was known for, Barnabas. And it says that he's a cousin of this guy named Mark. Right? So, Mark is now with Paul, and he talks about him coming. So he says, Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, my fellow prisoner greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. So if he comes, be ready. Mark could come, welcome him. Now let's take a minute. This is what is this all about? Well, I'm telling you, this guy, Mark, has a story. He's a real person, and he has a background, and he has had some personal failure. And actually, he had some personal failure involving Paul. Let's turn in our Bibles now back to Acts 15. And isn't it good to hear the Bibles turning, the pages going? One of the greatest sounds in all the world. I mean that. It is. So let's look at Acts 15, verse 36. And this is going to tell us a little bit of a story that involves Paul and Mark. It says, "And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are.'" So they went out on this missionary trip. Now they came back. They were back home again. Now he's saying, let's go out again. Let's go visit those churches that we helped start. And let's see how those guys are doing. And let's build them up. Let's do that. Let's go out together. That's Paul's idea. And it says, "Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark." And this is the same guy that wrote the book of Mark. And this is the same guy that's talking about in Colossians. So Barnabas, who's more the encouraging one, wants to take him along. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. So Barnabas says, "Let's go. I want to join you, Paul. Let's go on the trip, but let's take Mark with us." And Paul says, "No, Mark can't come with us because Mark abandoned us last time, so we can't have him go with us. It's not a wise decision. So there's this conflict between these two guys that were the first ones that went out and shared Christ with everybody. So you're seeing, you know, conflict here among Christians. And verse 39 says, And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. So it wasn't just a small disagreement that said, okay, you can see it your way and I can see it my way. It was such a sharp disagreement over this guy, Mark, that the two first missionaries parted ways and separated. And that's pretty big. And as you can see here, even what sometimes we consider the super Christians, even that they can have disagreements and falling outs and parting ways and go separate ways. Now, why does God allow that? Well, God allows that sometimes, like in this case, these guys went separate ways, and I think God used it to send out more people in different directions and to reach more people for Christ, that He allowed that to happen. That's one of the main things that comes from it. And then another part of it is you see that we can learn that there is a reconciliation and a coming back together. So here, but just to continue reading in this, after this disagreement, Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So the focus continues to be on Paul. You hear less about Barnabas and Mark, but they went off and did something similar. So, who was right? Paul or Barnabas? Well, one thing is you see that we don't necessarily have to take sides in that. We don't have to say, you know, I mean, we can see, in some sense, Barnabas was different. He was more one that wanted to give a second chance. And Paul was a little bit more on the truth side. So one was on the grace side, and the other was a little more on the truth side. These are the facts. This is what happens. We're gonna have to deal with it this way. And do any of you see that tension in life? I see it all the time when people are parenting. You know, there may be some people that parent one way where they're just very heavy in grace and how they parent. And another one could just be very heavy in truth. And like, it's all about following the rules and here's how it is. And it's like, is one right? Is one wrong? Well, they're different, but there needs to be a balance there. Okay. And we as Christians, we need to find the balance on some things, you know. And so that, this case, you have these two guys that are different, and they're going to be people. Are there people in the church that are different? Are there people who in the church who are more grace givers? And it really, that's just how God has designed them, and they would love to just give lots and lots of chances to people. And then there are people who are like, look, God's word is clear. It says we must obey. We need to obey. Here's the way we deal with the person who continually sins and what he does, and they have no problem doing that. Do we need both of those kind of people? We actually do, and there's a balance that we need. But here, what I want to focus on and think about is this guy, Mark. He's at the center of the disagreement that broke up the Paul and Barnabas. How must that have felt for him? I consider it the fact that he had a personal failure. That I don't know what it was that caused him to leave them out in the mission field. It doesn't really say. But he left them, he abandoned them, and it was bad enough that Paul did not trust him to take him back again. That was a personal failure. And it must have been one that would be difficult to get by. But the good news is we can see that he did. And that there was a reconciliation with Paul. And Paul now, later on, is saying, I'm willing to send this guy, Mark, to you, the Colossians. And if he comes to you, be ready to greet him. He's coming from me. Now, I don't know if it's just me or not. Maybe I'm just making this a little too personal for myself, but I'm pretty encouraged by that. That you're seeing here somebody who had a personal failure and that now he's moved forward. And I want to know if anyone here has ever had a personal failure in their life. We have them every day, all the time. Believe me, I want to tell you how hard it is to be someone who stands up here and proclaims the Word of God and speaks, because this is much higher and beyond me. I'm just a man and just a person, just like anyone else. I'm teaching about something that is pure and is of the highest of standards, and yet I know that I struggle just like you, and I have all these failures, and I sometimes might say something that might hurt somebody's feelings, or, you know, it may be my fault. Like, if the Bible hurts your feelings, well, in some sense, I can't control that, because that's God, that's His Word, and you may be offended by it, and you need to deal with it. But like me, when it's my own self, my own person, my own lack of care for you, or sensitivity, or something like that, that hurts you, then that's bad. That's a problem. And you think if you, the more you talk, the more you say things, the more you share, the more you open up yourself to stick your foot in your mouth, right? You ever done that? Open up your mouth, you stick your foot in out. You know, it's like, what's that saying where you just open up your mouth long enough just to change feet? And the more, like, I want to tell you, some people think, oh, you know, leadership, that's, you know, whoa, I'd like to be a leader. Being a leader really is being a servant, and a lot of times it's being embarrassed. It's being uncomfortable. It's being put in a place where you're not really wanting to be, or you don't really feel comfortable. I mean, really, I'm just confessing, usually when I speak, it's like, for me, it's like torture afterwards. I sit and I just go through it, and I think about, you know, what I said, and some of it is just I'm really a little too self-centered thinking about, you know, how it's heard and what's received. But there's a spiritual battle that goes on when you're a leader and you're put out in front and you're doing things. Has anyone ever experienced that before? Is that just me? How about you guys who get up and sing here? And is there any challenge to that? Is that an easy thing? Is there any, like, difficulty to that? You know, it's a battle. Okay? So, when we get up in front, or maybe you're in front of your family and you're like thinking, I need to lead my family in the Word, but you're so familiar with your own personal failures that they're paralyzing you. I mean, it would be very easy here, like as a person who wants to step out and serve the Lord, to try it for a while and then just to quit because of failure, because you feel that sense of failure. And that's something that we're really facing. And I'm saying today that this story that we heard about Mark, and we know and we can see that he's been brought back, we can see that you and me, we can get beyond our personal failures. Now, how many of you are encouraged by that? Now, it doesn't matter really what it is. I mean, I know that some of our failures seem so big. They're like, sometimes they have hurt other people. They have gone to places that damage relationships and have caused all kinds of problems. But I hope that we all believe here that the supernatural power, the transforming power of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ in our lives, goes above and beyond any of that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we know that. Okay, so in this case, Mark was brought back. He's trusted. He's there. He's restored. This is going to be pretty short and to the point today. I just want to go through some points I have here. The first point is everybody. Everybody. All these points are going to really start with everybody. Everybody, go ahead, Dennis. Fail sometimes. You know that. That wasn't a new revelation to you. You yourself, you know it. You experienced it. You guys who are married, you know when you said something you shouldn't have to your wife and your attitude was wrong and you really damaged the relationship. Wives, you know when you got really snappy with your husband. Youth, you know when you've been disrespectful to your parents and your teachers and your different relationships that you have, or when you've betrayed a friend. You know that. You're experienced with that. But I just want to remind you, this is church, and it's a time to be honest. So be really honest with yourself, and be the type of person that you are not trying to cover up your failures. You're not trying to forget about them, but you're trying to deal with them. And you're like knowing that I failed. I failed this week many times, more than I could count. And I want to know how I can be what God wants me to be in the church or in my school or in my relationship or my marriage. I want to know how to deal with those failures. Everybody needs it. Remember how Paul said no to Mark? You think that may have hurt him? That was rejection. And every single one of us here sometimes deals with rejection. Like maybe they say, no, I don't want you for that job. We have another candidate. We have this person. Or the girl that you think that you're going to marry, that you're in love with says, no, I don't think of you that way. Or the boy that you love, or the man that you love, you know, they don't think of you the same way. So you experience rejection. And we all experience rejection. We're all in that together. And we all have feelings. So we fail sometimes, we experience rejection, and we have feelings. And I'm telling you, those feelings of hurt that we have, many times they paralyze us. They stop us. They have prevented us from living the life that God intends for us. We're just paralyzed. We just can't move forward. And I feel like I believe this. I'm sorry, guys, I'm going to say this, but there's a church full of people that are paralyzed here many times, that are not able to move forward and live for God because there's some hurt feelings or some rejection or something that they're caught on more than they are focused forward, looking at Christ and where He can go and us coming together like we can. Now, I'm just like you, though. I face that. And I have feelings. And I want to tell you, sometimes the people that look like they're the toughest on the outside, this is a principle, the people that look like they're the toughest on the outside, they're the most tender on the inside. They're the ones that are most easiest to offend and hurt. Can I get some amens on that? Is that true? The toughest people on the outside, the harshest, the strongest interior, they are the most fragile on the inside. And that, again, that's how God designed them. That's okay. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm going to confess to you that that's been a problem, a lifelong problem for me. People look at me and they say, oh, this guy is so tough on the outside and he can take it. We'll say whatever we want to this guy. And it hurts. It is a painful experience. I mean, that goes all the way back to my non-Christian friends in high school. And either I took a strong stance for Christ, but the things that those guys would say to me and they would try to make happen and what they would do, I mean, I still love them and care for them, but I know like they would have no problem ganging up against me, not because of what I believe, but they perceived me to be strong and they felt like, okay, they can do that. And I don't know, some of you might be in the same boat, you know, like, you know, you carry yourself this way on the outside, but on the inside you have real hurts and pains and they're there and things get to you and you're maybe sometimes a little more easily offended than you should be, but you hurt. Anybody there? So we all have those feelings. Now here's what we need to do as Christians. As Christians, we have a big need to get past these personal failures. So if we're going to walk for Christ, if we are going to be sent out by Him, if we're going to make the difference in our families that God wants us to make, if we're going to be the kind of husband or wife, or we're going to be the kind of employee, if we're going to be the kind of friend, if we are going to excel in relationships and have Christ at the center, then we're going to have to move past these, right? This is a simple concept. This is a very simple sermon today. You like it, right? Very simple idea here. Okay, we're going to have to get past those failures. And here's the deal. We're going to have to depend on Jesus Christ making things right, making us right. How many of you, just be honest, this is church, this is not the time to lie. How many of you sometimes look not to Christ but to your own record and your own way of living and how you've done things? I mean, we do that. That is the fundamental struggle, is that we think it is about us and our performance and what we've done, and we're so caught up in our record and our accomplishments and where we've been. And I'm saying, fundamental to this, getting past things, is knowing that you are going to fail. You are a sinner. That's it. You're a human being. You know that. You're going to fail big. All right. But what is the power is not you pulling it together and living right and just doing everything just right. It's that Jesus Christ makes things right through what He did on the cross. Amen? Christ, that's the power. And if you'll stop trying to do it yourself, and you'll know, like I've been saying again and again, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Amen. I mess up. I can be forgiven. God has forgiven me. That means I can be forgiven. So I can move past any little failure that I have, knowing that it's not me, it's Christ in me that allows me to move forward and deal with that. Amen? So next one, Dennis, there. So you seen that movie, Meet the Robinsons? What was it saying that they said? You got to keep moving forward. I love that cartoon for that. But it's a similar kind of thing here. It's like, Look, we can be a church, we can be a group that has, like, we're easily offended with each other, we have all these relationships that are fractured and problematic, and a lot of times it's over small stuff, and we don't communicate, and we don't get together, we don't work each other out, and maybe we think, oh, I feel God's calling me to do this thing, and you step out and you try to do it, but then the reality is you have to meet and work with other people, and you're like, oh man, that didn't go well, and I can't stand these people, and I'm not going to do it, and these people are bad. I just can't work with that guy or that person. I mean, I came down to this church fired up to start a men's ministry. I was fired up to start a men's ministry because the one that we had, every first Friday of the month, we had a big service for guys. We had 300 guys there. We had a praise band. We had singing. I mean,
not here.
Not here. No, at my previous church where I was. We had this huge, and I was like, we need that. Down there, let's get some of that going down there, you know. And the first thing that I encountered was just very, very difficult situations. That the first time that I stood up to talk at that, I was up here, and I don't know if you guys were here, I crumbled. I couldn't talk. I was just so worked up. I just couldn't do it. I felt so much pressure from people that were not wanting it to happen or that were opposed to it. And there was so much conflict and different things going on in the church. I couldn't move forward. Was anybody here that night? I couldn't do it. I mean, guys came and prayed, and then I pulled myself together and I shared. But I'm telling you that I never moved forward in that for a long time. It took me a long time. I was stopped, and I felt like there was this big failure, and I just couldn't move forward in it. I feel like over time God has encouraged me to go ahead and to move forward on things, and that's why I'm able to even be here today and speak with you like this and do this. But I just want to say that as you get out and you try to serve God and you work with other people, you got feelings and sometimes they get hurt, but you got to deal with them and you got to keep moving forward. Amen?
Amen.
You ever got your feelings hurt at church?
Amen.
It happens because you're hanging around a bunch of sinners. I'm telling you, but hopefully it's a bunch of sinners that are saved by grace. God works in their life. They do change. They mature. And hopefully as we go, I hope that you see in me that, you know, I have the ability to hurt your feelings and cause harm, but that over time I'm maturing and growing, and that's what we want for each other, right? So sometimes it's not going to be us that are the ones that have failed. So when we're dealing with others, we need to do these things here. Okay. You got to allow failure sometimes. I mean, like, how about this? You know, who wants to be my example? Anybody? Dwayne, you get one failure with me. After that one failure, I'm writing you off. You haven't had it yet, though, Dwayne, but if you get it, you're done. Yeah, write you off. I mean, there has to be this grace. We allow failures, right? We expect, because we're people, that there are going to be some failures. So, you know, when dealing with real people, know that there are going to be some personal breakdowns and failures and stuff like that. Just write that in. Let's be a church and a body that's quick to forgive. Okay? Allow for failures. Now, we were talking about this in our parenting group that we had, which, you know, if you weren't in that parenting group, I'll tell you, you missed a good time. Sorry. Tell you, you missed it. Now, we still have the DVDs. You can still watch them. Okay? But one of the things I took away is that as a parent, you have to know your kids, you have to allow them to fail sometimes. That's how they learn. If you rush in there and you fix everything and you take care of everything and you set them up in a way where they never can fail and they're never allowed to fail, they're never going to learn to be adults and to do things right. And it's just like this. We start off young as Christians. We're going to have failures, right? We have to expect that. We have to allow people to fail. Sometimes, right? Now, but we, at the same time that we allow failure, what is it that we really want? We want to come back. We want to bounce back. We want to see people come back. We hope to see them turn and go the right way. We love comeback stories, right? We cheer for that. We encourage that. We're like Barnabas in that way. We come alongside people. We want the best. We're not going to be bitter and just prevent that from happening. In fact, we're going to be the opposite. We're going to do everything we can. We're going to go out of our way. We're going to bend over backwards to encourage a comeback. Now, just think, if that wasn't how God was for you, none of us could stand and we wouldn't be here today, right? None of us could endure. Because if it was just about what we've done and how we've lived, you know, none of us could stand before God. But God desires comebacks through Jesus Christ. So we need to encourage those comebacks. I've mentioned this already, but we got to forgive. Why do you have to forgive your neighbor? It's an interactive church sermon right now. Why do you need to forgive, guys? The fundamental reason is because God told you to and God forgave you. God forgave you. He set the pattern. He said, look, I've forgiven you. You need to forgive others. So forgiving is important. Now, who's hurt when you don't forgive? I mean, really, you know that. Like when you're bitter and you don't forgive, you're the one that's hurting. I mean, most of the time that other person is not really even aware of it. Go ahead, Dennis. It talked in here about Mark being a comfort to Paul. We need to comfort those who are serving Christ, like Paul and others. We need to be a comfort to those people. And also a comfort to people who want to bounce back. I think Paul was a comfort to Mark. But as we think about dealing with people, we need to be a comfort to them if they want to move in the right direction. Now, there's another side of it where we're not trying to be a comfort to somebody who's not moving in the right direction. If somebody is not committed to following Christ and submitting to authority in these things, we're not going to try to comfort them and encourage them to continue to go the wrong way. In fact, sometimes we have a job to make life difficult on them. That we need to do that, not because why? Because we think we're better than everybody else. No, because we love that person. If you really, like if you have a child and that child is going the wrong direction, do you just continue to make life easy for them? Or sometimes is it the loving thing to do to step in and make things difficult for them and try to get their attention? That's what you do when you love, right? Amen. Any of you ever receive that good kind of love? A little tough love, yeah? Now, that is, I mean, we think of love, you know, we think of love like, oh, I just have these great feelings for you, right? We think of love, you know, as doing things. We talk about that, doing things for other people and their benefit. Well, I'm just saying, sometimes those things that you do for somebody's benefit, they don't want them. They don't receive them. They're not very happy about them. All right, so we need to think about those things a little bit. I'm not saying that we can be a comfort to that kind of person, but what we can do is, like I said here, we can be a comfort to those who are serving Christ and are moving in the right direction. Now, there's a world out there that the Word of God, I say, hey, you're a sinner, you can be saved, you just receive Christ as your personal Savior, He will come in, He will live in your heart, He will make you so that when you die, you don't even have to be afraid, you can go on and you will live forever with Him. And that is the best news. It's called the gospel or the good news to you and me. I hope to everyone here. But you know, to some people, that's not good news at all. That's offensive. How are you going to comfort that person? You can't. Now, your job is just to share it in love. Be respectful and to do that and to live and give your testimony and say, this is what God has done in my life. This is how He's worked and this is what He's done. So we have that opportunity to do that. And I don't know what's holding you up. I bet you there's something that's really got you tangled up and holding you up and not letting you move forward for God. But I think today is a day you got to break loose of that. Sound good?
Yep.
Sound like a good thing to let God do in your life? Do we have anything else up there, Dennis? No, that was it. That was the end. So I just think it's a day, we look at this, we think about Mark. You know, he's a real person that had real failures, came back around. We've seen it with lots of other people that we need to move forward. We need to just think. I want you to pray today. If there's something that has gone on here at this church that has prevented you from serving God the way that God wants you to serve, if there's some relationship that's broken where you haven't actually gone and dealt with it and you haven't had a measure of grace for other people, I want you to really be praying about that, knowing if this is the day today that God is at work in your heart and that He's going to move you and He's going to make that better so that we all can move forward. Amen? And I also want to encourage, if there's any of you that want to come up afterwards and pray with me or any other leaders after this about this kind of a thing, Today, this was suggested to me by one of the men yesterday at the breakfast. I'm just going to hang out up here for just a little bit. If somebody wants to come up and pray about something like this, I'll pray with you. And Pat and Dennis and just anyone else who wants to, the leaders who want to come up here, any guys, just anyone who wants to come up and pray with me and with us, I just invite you to just go ahead and do that after the service. And even if it's like something today you're like thinking you can't move forward on, but you just need prayer for it, come on up. We'll pray about that together. Lord, thank You so much for today. I just lift each one of us up to you, Lord. I pray that you would help us to identify those things that have prevented us from serving you and moving forward and really living for you. I pray that we would really excel in relationships and that we would know how to live with you at the center, Lord. I thank you. I praise you. Make the fact that you died on the cross for us, Jesus, really the lens at how we look through everything. Thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we'll sing, and then I'll close after that, and we'll have the time to come up and pray if you'd like to do that.